Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Dr. Brian Jepson. We're going to be talking about autism. And, of course, it was about a month ago when suddenly, as if somebody had given an order all across America, CBS and NBC and ABC and CNN and Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine and U.S. News and World Report and all the newspapers had articles about autism and this terrible situation with autism, how it's increasing so rapidly, but well, of course, we certainly don't want you to try to treat this. You know, there's no treatment for it, or some wackos want to use certain types of detoxification, but that's potentially dangerous. And after all, they even had an article by somebody who was autistic saying, "Why do you want to change me? I don't want to be changed." And we have just an explosion of autism in the youth across America. And so Dr. Jepson was kind enough to come on. He is a specialist in this field. There aren't very many specialists in this field, but hopefully they're going to be a growing number because there's a growing need for them. Dr. Jepson, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, how you had happened to go into this field, very specialized field, and of course, what the problem really is.
Okay, sure. Well, I went into it because my son is autistic. I'm actually trained in emergency medicine, and that's what my specialty has been. About 3 years ago, my son, actually it's been about 4 years now, my son, who was age three at the time, was diagnosed with autism. You know, at that point, I realized that I really knew very little about it. They really don't teach anything about it in medical school. You know, so what I knew about autism was about the same thing that anybody who watched Rain Man knew. And our experience was that when we went to have the diagnosis, my son was given a very poor prognosis, and the psychiatrist who gave us the diagnosis suggested that, you know, there's really nothing that you can do about it, that he's likely to be institutionalized, that we can treat him educationally and try and teach him some skills so that he can have some coping mechanisms. But really that the therapies out there were not worth your time looking into, and just basically learn to deal with it.
And so that's really sort of a pretty hard thing for a physician to take. There's just nothing that can be done, and don't even look into these alternatives.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, it's difficult for a parent to take, especially, you know, as a physician, I didn't know anything differently. That, you know, I certainly hadn't heard that there was any that autism was a treatable disorder. But as a parent, it's devastating, and that's, you know, probably the hardest thing to hear about autism. But it's something that almost every parent with autistic child goes through.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with Dr. Brian Jepson talking about this, because there are treatments. There's a great deal that can be done to help these children. And it's not that the doctors don't care. They just don't know. When I went to medical school, well, of course, that was 50 years ago, this disease was really not even described at the time, I don't believe, but we've had an explosion of this in recent years, and nobody really wants to ask that question. Why? We'll be right back in just a moment here, talking about autism. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Brian Jepson, who's an emergency room physician, but he's been drawn into the subspecialty of treating autistic children because, tragically, most doctors do not understand this disease because, of course, the medical journals are not telling them the truth and the medical organizations are not telling them the truth. And so often, why, when a parent goes to a doctor, they just say, well, the child is autistic, and in the case of Dr. Jepson, he was told his child would probably have to be institutionalized. How was your child developing before it developed autism, about age 3?
You know, my son actually had normal development from everything that we could tell until sometime in his second year of life. And it was near the end of the second year that he started showing some signs of autistic behavior. But, you know, at the time it just seemed like an independent personality and that he was a little bit slower in developing his language. But he was one of those kids that seemed completely normal and then regressed in his behavior.
And I think, isn't this rather characteristic? It used to be, of course, that the autistic children were born at birth, right. You know, came on at birth. And only in recent years have we seen this regressive type of autism.
Yeah, that's actually very true. The regressive autism is the one that really seems to be increasing in numbers. And now it probably encompasses a good 75% of the cases.
And, of course, did your son have intense diarrhea with this or not?
Yeah, he did. He's one of the kids that is chronic loose stool, you know, non-formed, mushy, colitis-type stool. And he's always had that, and that's been a problem for him, and that's a problem for a lot of the kids, or constipation. But, a good share of these kids have obvious GI abnormalities that are basically ignored by their treating physicians because they're autistic.
And, of course, they don't understand, the physician doesn't understand, there is this entity of autistic enterocolitis. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, what is to tell our listeners that, as you, of course, faced with this terrible dilemma, what did you do? I mean, how did you address it? When did you begin to find out there really were things that could help your son?
Well, you know, I give my wife the credit for that initially. She didn't take no for an answer and started looking on the internet and researching things and came across the Autism Research Institute, headed by Dr. Bernie Rimland. And as she started making some changes in his diet and using some nutritional support, my son started getting better. And she started forwarding to me.
Hold that thought, right? We'll be with it in just a moment as we bring our stations on. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Brian Jepson. And of course, his son was about 3 years old, had been developing normally, and then about just before he turned 3, late 2 years, why he began to regress and developed all the symptoms that we see so often with autism, not only the mental symptoms, but the enteric, the enterocolitis that goes along with this disease so often after consulting the standard psychiatrist. Who said there really is not much that can be done, perhaps have to be institutionalized, why his wife then began looking on the internet, and thank goodness for the internet, because you can find things there, and more people are going there when they get this sort of hopeless sort of a diagnosis, and as they begin to treat and change the diet, why the child really began to improve. What did you notice? What really began to happen? How did your child begin to change?
A lot of the early signs were improved focus. He started having improved attempts at language, and then over time his language improved relatively dramatically. You know, and we actually had him doing an educational intervention program at the same time, but it really allowed him to focus on learning. And so, you know, and plus a lot of the chronic red skin and abdominal distension and things like that improved a lot.
And, of course, I've heard this from other people who treat autistic children. It's almost as if a veil has been lifted from their brain or from their mind. Would that be a fair statement?
No, I think that's very fair. You know, it's like they're in a brain fog.
All right.
And you know, they're starting to see through that.
All right. Well, then, let's get into the background of what you've learned, how you would approach this, how you approach children that you're treating with this disease, and what really can be done to help them.
Okay. Well, you know, I think what we've learned is that autism is not just a behavioral problem. You know, it's really a metabolic disorder. It affects the immune system and secondarily affects the GI system and the neurological system. And so it's a multi-system complex metabolic biochemical disorder. And that's how you have to approach it, is trying to understand the root cause. And by doing that, by trying to intervene at that root level, a lot of their neurological symptoms improve. What I think we've also are very confident with is that these kids have issues with environmental toxicity. They're predisposed to heavy metal toxicity in particular, but also predisposed to interactions with viruses, and that's causing a lot of their problems.
All right. Well, could you explain to our listeners out there who really don't understand autism, what happens to the child, how they respond, how they interact, what is really so devastating to the parents who do have children who are severely autistic?
Well, you know, it's like your child is taken away from you and his body is still there. You know, I mean, that's a good way to describe it. I mean, they just basically live in their own world. They don't really have any kind of social interaction, even though they do. Most autistic kids like to be held and like to be around you. It's just they can't communicate their needs to you, and so it's very difficult as a parent to deal with that, because you know you lose the hopes and dreams and aspirations that you have for a normally developing child, and you feel like you don't really even know your own son.
Well, of course, the incidence of the disease used to be about 1 in 10,000.
Right.
How much is it today? What is the incidence of the disease today?
The latest CDC report was 1 in 166, and I think that's a very conservative number, and I think it's a lot higher than that. And there are certainly areas in the country and in the world that it's documented to be much higher than that, even up to 1 in 80.
And, of course, 1 in 80, but aren't there sort of gradations? In other words, if a child is not frankly autistic, can't there be other problems with their brains that, you know, are reflected in their reactions, and yet they're not typical autism?
You bet. Yeah, autism is a very wide spectrum, from severe to very mild, and I believe on the far end of that, and this is definitely not included in the numbers, but is ADD and ADHD, along with other neurobehavioral abnormalities. Also, I see a lot of kids who are siblings of patients with autism that have a lot of the GI and the immune system issues, even though their neurological system hasn't been affected.
All right. So now how does it affect their immune system, and what way? Are they more susceptible to other diseases or what?
Basically, these kids have an overabundance of inflammation, and they have difficulty controlling and balancing the inflammation. So it's similar to other autoimmune disorders like rheumatoid arthritis or lupus or MS. You know, their body's immune system is on overdrive in some areas and creating antibodies against their own body. And in some other areas, they can't kill viruses and fungus, and so they have prolonged subacute infections.
And, of course, there's increased talk now that many of the mental disorders that we see among people may very well be a viral disease, and I'm talking not about autism, but schizophrenia and other things of that sort. So there's an increasing awareness that some of these mental conditions that we felt were simply psychological or the Freudian approach to it,
right,
really are very organic. But let's talk about specifically about autism. Now, do we have any idea what causes this? Why is this exploding? Some places you say it may be 1 in 80, but overall the CDC says it's increased from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 166. That is a dramatic increase, over a 600% increase.
Yeah, no, it's even more than that. And it's, it's truly an epidemic that implicates the environment. There's no such thing as a genetic epidemic. A lot of research is now going into what's causing the environment, the environmental trigger, what is the trigger. The thing that looks like is the most likely, and there's very strong evidence for this, is mercury toxicity. There's several sources of mercury. One of those is thimerosal that was present in childhood vaccines. As the incidence, or the number of childhood vaccines, doubled, or as it increased in the 90s, the early 90s, so did the autism epidemic numbers. You know, we also know from the EPA that just the total environmental load of mercury is increasing to the point that they're very alarmed about the environmental mercury load. You know, it's and they're recommending that pregnant women don't eat fish, which are mercury toxic, and you know, so I think mercury is really the main issue, at least the main predisposing environmental trigger.
What about, of course, the women who have multiple dental fillings with mercury in them? Does that play any part? And is there any mercury that can leach out of those fillings, you know, into the blood and then into the unborn child?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's been proven, that mercury does leach out of fillings, and it's been proven that it does cross the placental barrier. And we know that during the fetal development, as well as early postnatal development or early childhood development, is when the brains are most susceptible to mercury toxicity.
Well, Chris, I don't understand why after taking the thimerosal out of the infant or childhood vaccines, they would leave it in the influenza vaccine and then tell parents that every child 6 months of age should get a shot of the influenza vaccine with a toxic dose of mercury in it. That doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense to have thimerosal in the vaccines in the first place. You know, it's a preservative. It's there are other options. It's a known neurotoxin. There's no controversy about mercury. The controversy is that the CDC and the FDA are not admitting that thimerosal, that type of mercury, is causing damage. And you know, because it's a credibility issue and it's a liability issue. And yeah, I agree with you. I don't understand it either. I think that there's no reason that our kids need to be injected with a neurotoxin.
Well, now, what about the effect of the live measles vaccine? Does this play any point? I'm speaking now of Dr. Wakefield's work. How do you feel about that?
You know, I think that the measles vaccine is a secondary trigger, as well as other viruses, I believe, can do it. I have in my clinic, I had several kids who regressed immediately after the MMR, many kids who regressed immediately after other viral infections. I think their immune system has been set up for damage, both genetically but also by mercury toxicity and other heavy metals, and then they get a live, several dose or several live viruses at one time, such as what happens in the MMR, and that is a secondary trigger that often is the one that causes the, you know, immediate regression.
So what you're suggesting is it's a multifaceted situation. There's a genetic, there's a mercury, there are other toxic things, and then, of course, the live vaccines. All of them can play a part in this symptom complex.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I don't think it's one particular thing. I think it's a collection of things. And in reality, there may be a lot more things involved that we're just not aware of yet. I mean, there's 80,000 different chemicals in the environment that have never been tested.
And what can we do? If you're treating these children and somebody comes into you and they have an autistic child, I mean, how do you begin to approach them and how can you begin to help the parents?
Well, the first thing I try and do is help to correct their nutritional problems and their GI problems. You know, and as you decrease that inflammation, a lot of the secondary inflammation in the brain improves or goes away, and so their neurological system improves. I also chelate them with heavy metals or from heavy metals to get rid of the ongoing damage that I believe is happening with mercury and lead and other heavy metals. And then we do what we can to support their immune system so that it can fight off the chronic subacute viruses that are in their system.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Brian Jepson, is an emergency room physician with a subspecialty in treating autistic children. And believe me, we're talking about literally hundreds of thousands of autistic children all across America and really all across the world, at least in the areas where they're doing a lot of heavy vaccination. This is a disease that's an entirely new disease. We'd never heard of it when I went to medical school. If we did, we never talked about it. It really wasn't described until some years later, but now it's simply exploding in the industrialized world. We'll be back in just a moment. And, of course, the half hour will welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Brian Sepson. Whereabouts are your offices? Where do you practice?
I practice currently in Salt Lake. It's actually in Draper, Utah, which is a suburb of Salt Lake City.
All right, fine. And so if anybody would like, of course, to in that area, would like more information, you can call our 800 number and we'll be glad to. Is it all right for me to give to people your telephone number?
Sure. Why don't you give them our website?
All right, why don't we do that? Why don't you get your website out there?
www.cbcutah.org, as in Children's Biomedical Center, CBC Utah.
1-1-8, I'm sorry, what is it?
It's www.cbc. Yeah, CBC Utah. CBCUtah.org.
Right. CBCUtah.org. Okay. Now, basically, how do you begin to get the intestinal symptoms quieted on down? You have these children. They have autism, but they also seem, so many of them will have this enterocolitis. In fact, this is really described by the people who are addressing this as this autistic enterocolitis. So what do you do to get that quieted down?
Well, the first thing is to remove other sources that are creating more inflammation. And there are certain food proteins that affect autistic kids. One is gluten. One is casein. Casein is a derivative of milk or protein found within milk. So we put them on a gluten-free, casein-free diet. Soy is also a strong inflammatory food, so we remove soy from their diet. A lot of abnormal bacteria and fungus reside in the gut that can create inflammation. So treating them with an antifungal and an antibiotic often helps to quiet that down. And then, you know, you try and supply the gut with the appropriate nutrition that it needs. This includes probiotics, and it also includes vitamins and supplements.
All right. So basically then, of course, you're going to have to treat the whole patient. And instead of starting out really treating the brain, you begin treating the intestine. How does this issue of, as far as the casein and the glutens, how does that impact the mind?
Well, there's two possibilities. One is through the immune system, because we found that the gut inflammation seems to be primary and the cerebral inflammation is secondary. So by decreasing the gut inflammation, I think the immune system, just the pro-inflammatory response of the immune system decreases. There's also a direct connection between gluten and casein and the brain, because those particular peptides will fit into the opiate receptors in the brain. And so they act as a false neurotransmitter or a false signal, which clouds the brain function.
And this is certainly a story I've heard from so many other people who do the same sort of work that you do. Once they get the glutens and the casein, the milk products, out of the system, and they're not getting through, of course, the blood-brain barrier into the brain, it's almost as if the mind begins to function again and begins to develop normally. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, it is. It's basically like being addicted to morphine on a low dose. You know, morphine also fits into those opioid receptors. And, you know, these kids literally become addicted to gluten and casein. Just as you would be if you're on a morphine pump all the time, your mind does not necessarily think clearly. Same idea.
All right, fine. Now, then, of course, what about the heavy metal intoxication, the mercury? And are there other heavy metals that these children are getting?
Yeah, we're exposed to lots of heavy metals. Lead is common. Arsenic, antimony, aluminum, these are all problems. But the one that's most toxic and seems to be most playing the biggest role in autism is mercury.
All right, fine. So how do you deal with that?
Well, the first thing I do is try to support their detoxification system, and that includes improving glutathione, which is the body's main detoxifier. We improve sulfation, which is another way the body detoxifies.
Now, do you do this with the pills or with something you put on the skin? How do you approach that?
You know, it's kind of a combination. There are several ways to do it. Some of it's nutritional support or is supplement. Some of it's through injections, such as with methylcobalamin, which is a B12 form. Some of it is even in an IV in some cases. But, you know, we're actually supplying the precursors to glutathione.
All right. So then, of course, do you use anything like, is this like a chelation process you're using?
Well, and then I do chelation. I support their detoxification, their own detoxification system first, and then I chelate them with... there's a variety of medicines, but the ones that I most commonly use are called DMSA or DMPS.
All right, fine. Is this given orally? Is it given intravenously? What about the skin? Some people talk about putting various things on the skin. What is the best way to do it, or is it multifaceted?
You know, we don't know the best way to do it yet. The ones that I do most commonly are either oral or a cream.
All right. Now, how do you learn to do this? Because this is not something that's taught in medical school. This is not something that most doctors are even acquainted with. Most good pediatricians, really, they're being told by their medical societies and by the medical journals, oh, there's nothing can be done. Forget about it, you know. In fact, don't some people sort of look upon you as sort of a quack when you're doing all of these things?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the mainstream medicine physicians, because of their bias against this, definitely do have that.
Hold that thought right there.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perished. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan, and we'll be right back here in just a moment with Dr. Brian Jepson.
Hi, I'm Michael Anthony Pulis with the Constitution Party.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Brian Jepson, who is practices, and part of his practice is the treatment of autistic children. And the problem is that organized medicine will say there's nothing that can be done. Put your child into an institution. What a terrible thing to tell a parent. And the doctors who say this, I'm sure, are very sincere. They've read this right in Time magazine. They've read it in the New York Times. They read it in their medical journal. And it almost appears as if, well, perhaps it's just ignorance on the part of the medical community, the fact that there's a great deal that can be done for this tragedy that is affecting, well, according to the CDC, my understanding is that they feel that one in every six American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality of some sort. One in six American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality of some sort. We're talking about the spectrum of autism, and then we're talking about the ADD and ADHD, and then, of course, just the inability to read or study or to think or to learn properly. Do you think, is that an exaggeration, or is it really that bad?
I think it's that bad. You know, I mean, if you ask any public school teacher, they would agree with that. You know, there is an epidemic of learning behavior disorders in children.
All right, our telephone number out across America is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, we hear sometimes people talk about using infrared lights on the hands and feet or infrared lights somehow to cause people to sweat and then to sweat out the impurities, the heavy metals. Is there any basis for that scientifically? And does it work?
You know, I don't know that much about that. I mean, I do know that there are people that do that and believe very strongly that it works. I do have a couple of patients who have done it at outside facilities and have had a good metal pull with that in testing. So I believe that there is some validity to it, but I'm not. I haven't ever really researched a lot myself.
Well, it's hard to do research on your own. And the trouble is that there's just not that many people that are really experts in treating this. And certainly, Dr. Rimland has done an awful lot of work in trying to bring together the information, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and to answer your previous question about what, as a physician, how do you get the information? My recommendation would be to do what you were trained to do in medical school and in residency and do a literature search and look at all the research and actually read it, because that's what convinced me that there was something more to it. The Autism Research Institute has made it a lot easier, and they have a biannual conference called the DAN, Defeat Autism Now Conference, that is a gathering of the researchers and the physicians and parents who are involved that is a good source of information.
All right, fine. Well, we've got Jim calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Hi, Jim. Speak right up. Don't be bashful.
Good evening.
Go ahead.
I have a question for the doctor who's the guest.
Right.
What would you tell folks who are having children now about immunizations?
All right. That's a legitimate question. What would you tell children, pardon me, parents that are going to have children and their children are coming up for their routine immunizations?
You know, it is a very good question. What I normally tell people is they need to research the immunizations on their own. I think that there are certain, I'm definitely not anti-immunization. I think that they are valuable to prevent infectious illness, but I don't think that the way that we immunize kids at the current schedule makes any physiological sense. I would be sure that there's no thimerosal contained in any of the vaccines that your children get. I would spread out the immunization so that they don't receive 5 or 6 shots in one day, and I would not immunize against illnesses that they are not at risk of getting, like hepatitis B, if you're in a low-risk group.
All right, fine. Does that answer your question, Jim?
Yes, sir.
All right.
No, there's another book I can refer you to. It's by Dr. Stephanie Cave, and it's called What Your Doctor Did Not Tell You About Childhood Immunizations.
What Your Doctor Didn't Tell You, where is that available?
I think it's on Amazon. Her last name is Cave, C-A-V-E.
All right, Dr. Cave, and we really should get to, we've had Dr. Cave on in the past, and we should really get her on again. Okay, Jim, thank you so very much for calling. Yes. Anything else you want to ask?
Well, are most of the physicians willing to adapt the schedules and so forth?
Now, what you're talking about is not giving 6 different vaccines all in one day to overstimulate the immune system. Is that what you're asking, Jim?
Well, the doctor had said not giving the immunizations more than one in a day and so forth.
All right.
To be very honest with you, most of the physicians are not willing to modify the schedule because they don't believe that there's any kind of connection to autism.
Jim, that's why we do what we're doing. We're trying to get you educated so you can educate your doctor. The doctor wants to do what's right. I will tell you, I never met a doctor who didn't want to help their patients. But you have to understand that they're not getting this information from other sources, and so they're going to have to get it from you, and it's going to take a little courage on your part to go to your doctor and say, hey, look and see what's happening. Why don't you get some of this information or get one of our tape sets and feel free to copy anything we have. And we're going to be actually writing more and more on this specific subject. So you can get our newsletters, as with the newsletter we did in November and December on water fluoridation. And, of course, we need you to get that information to your doctors. Once the doctors realize that they're not getting the information from regular sources, maybe they'll start listening to their patients.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is one of the great tragedies of modern time. Now, what's happening throughout the rest of the world? Are we seeing a skyrocketing autism in other countries as well?
You know, in most of the developing countries, there's an increase. England has, you know, a similar, if not worse, increase than the U.S. We see it in a lot of other countries reported, such as India and Brazil. We don't have a lot of information from third world, but most of the developed countries have similar increase, but not identical.
And of course, these are all the countries where they're doing such widespread vaccinations to try to stop the spread of disease.
It's interesting, some of the research that's come out recently arguing against thimerosal as the cause comes from Denmark, and their rates in Denmark are extremely low still. It's still in that 2 to 4 per 10,000 range. They stopped using thimerosal in their immunizations back in the early 90s. And, you know, I think that that is why the rates are so low.
Right. And, of course, anyway, of course, there's the Danish study, and we have interviews with Dr. Yazbek. Anybody would like to go into the background of the Danish study, Dr. Yazbek has written a reply to that, published in the Medical Sentinel, published by the Journal of the American Physicians and Surgeons. So anybody who would like to get more information on the Danish study, I don't really think it's valid. So you really need to have the information. You need to be able to present it to your doctor, and you need to be able to discuss these things intelligently. There's some new studies that come out of Japan on this same subject, were incidentally written by an Englishman who works for the company that makes the vaccines. What's an Englishman who works for the company that makes vaccines doing, putting out a paper in Japan, and can we really study the, can we really trust the studies that are put out by the vaccine companies that stand to lose billions of dollars if it can be shown that there's a relationship between autism and the vaccines? Are you concerned about some of these articles that are written by people who have a financial or vested interest in necessarily coloring the truth?
Oh, you know, they're completely biased. And in fact, if you actually look at the statistics and look at them appropriately, it actually comes up with the answer that's opposite to what they're saying. This study that you're referring to in Japan, the reason why they chose Japan is because Japan stopped using MMR 10 years ago because of all the reactions. But instead, what they did was they separated out measles, mumps, and rubella, but gave them all within 4 weeks of each other. So it's basically the same as using MMR. And, you know, as they made those changes, the incidence of autism plateaued and then increased again. And I think it really proves Andy Wakefield's theory that, you know, the three live viruses in a close time proximity can create immune system problems.
And for our listeners out there, Dr. Wakefield was a gastroenterologist in one of the most prestigious medical schools or clinics in Great Britain, and the parents would come to him. Their children, of course, would become autistic right after or shortly after taking the triple M vaccine, the measles, mumps, and rubella, MMR vaccine, and of course, they would develop this tremendous colitis. And he was a gastroenterologist, so he would begin scoping the children, and he found out that there was not only evidence of inflammation, but when they biopsied it, they found there was measles virus in the intestinal mucosa, in the lining of the intestine.
They've also found measles virus now in the CSF, in the cerebral spinal fluid of autistic kids.
And of course, think of the financial implications of this. So what did they do? Did they try to determine if he was right or not? No, they fired him and they drove him out of England. He couldn't get a job any place in Great Britain. Fortunately, he's come to the United States and is continuing his work, but unfortunately, that seems to be what happens to anybody who tries to explain why a 1 in 6 children in America has a neurodevelopmental abnormality. One of the greatest tragedies of all time, and of course they are our future. Well, you know, what sort of reception do you get from the other doctors in your community? Now, are you getting any referrals from the other doctors? Because, you know, what I've heard is that a number of the doctors have children who are autistic, and they want the best for their children as well.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I have many doctors' children in my practice, and, you know, they are open to this, but, you know, not to the point that they're willing to go out on their own and start treating kids yet so far, hopefully. That will change, but There are more and more doctors becoming involved across the country. More and more doctors are seeing the results of the treatments that we're doing, are starting to understand the research. But it really takes a good 15 years for any new intervention to become mainstreamed in the medical community. And there's just a lot of medical dogma that has a stronghold in doctors' minds that's going to take some time to change.
Well, the thing that is so tragic is how many more children are going to lose during this next 10 or 15 years as before this becomes accepted.
Exactly.
And really, I think it's really up to the parents to get the information. And if you're out there listening and you're a parent or a grandparent, get the information. We're putting together a four-tape set on autism, and you don't have to get it from us. You can go up on the Internet, and there are all sorts of sites there that have excellent information. Where could you recommend that people go to, you know, just for general information on autism? Would it be Dr. Remlin's site?
I think that's really one of the best sites. You know, there are other sites out there that are more specific for mercury-type things. There's one called nomercury.org.
Oh, that's Dr. Clark. Dr. Clark's a general practitioner,
right,
whose child came down with autism, and both he and his wife have just spent all of their time trying to get the information out. We've had him as a guest a number of times on our program, and how heartbreaking it is. Of course, his child really has made a miraculous recovery. Not normal, never will be normal, but at least to the point where the child can function, which is a tremendous thing. And same thing happened to Dr. Remlin. His son, although he can't function alone, is very, very talented, has tremendous musical talent, but he'll never be normal.
Yeah, there's a couple of other good sites that I would refer people to. One is called the National Autism Alliance, and another one is Safe Minds.
Safe Minds, yes. In fact, that's got some excellent material on it. In fact, they're publishing Dr. Blaylock's material that points out that the government held a secret meeting where they acknowledged that much of what we're talking about today as far as the thimerosal is concerned and decided to conceal it from the American people and to use up the supplies that they knew were going to do damage to the children. But after all, we wouldn't want to panic the people at all. And of course, it would have been very expensive to have stopped giving this thimerosal containing vaccines to the children, so they were just going to use it up. But as one of them said, well, my child isn't going to get a vaccination, but we'll go along with this. In essence, we'll go along keeping the information for the public. That's Dr. Blaylock's treatise, and it's up on, what is it, safeminds.com or?
Yeah, safeminds.org, I think.
Safeminds.org.
Actually, I misspoke. It's the National Autism Association, the National Autism Alliance.
Well, I think it's so very vitally important that people get the information and, of course, get it to your children and get it to your grandchildren because, you know, once this happens, why, there's no turning back. And do the children ever get completely normal?
You know, we've had a good share of kids who have a functional recovery to the point that they're indistinguishable from their peers. They still have biomedical abnormalities that need ongoing minimal treatment, but it's we've had kids recover, definitely.
All right, fine. And so this idea that suddenly as they begin to change their diet and they begin to be detoxified, why this whole idea of is like the cloud lifts from their mind and they begin to go ahead and they begin then to talk and to get away from this repetitive abnormality they have. Some of these kids will simply sit there and nod or beat their head against the wall, things like that.
Yep, they do. We see improvement all across the board.
How many children would you be treating at a time?
In my practice, I treated about 350 kids currently.
And of course, is the number coming in all the time? Because I'm sure these parents are desperate to have somebody who will has something to offer.
Well, yeah, we are. There are multiple clinics across the country. A good reference site for a local clinician who's implementing the DAM protocol would be the Autism Research Institute.
All right, fine. That's the Autism Research Institute, and that, of course, is Dr. Remlin's site. Well, we've got about a minute and a half here. What thought would you like to leave with your listeners? You obviously have took a lot of courage to go out and begin doing something which is different than the other doctors are doing. But these children need help, and I respect you for having the courage to do it. When I practiced, I was always just a little bit different, and yet my patients got well, and I know many of them were appreciative.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thought, the most important thing is for people to realize that autism is a treatable disorder and that you should have hope and maintain hope, and the more time and effort and the more individuals that are involved, the more effective we will be at treating it.
And I hope that many of our listeners will go back and get the Time magazine and the Newsweek magazine and the U.S. News World Report that came out about a month ago and notice the recurrent theme, there's nothing could be done. There's nothing could be done. You wonder why they would do that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's inconceivable to me why this is such a controversial disease.
Amen to that. Well, God bless you, Dr. Jepson. Thank you very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure. And again, why don't you get your website out one more time?
Okay, www.cbcutah.org.
And so if you're in the Utah area and you know somebody who needs help, why, this is a good place to go. God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And we'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. And first, wrap up today's program.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Have you ever wondered whether you're really getting the truth from the media? Have you ever thought that maybe somebody's controlling your reality? Well, there's going to be a meeting. It's going to be held at the Westin Hotel over by Great America. It's going to be on May 28th and 29th, and it's going to be at the Conspiracy Conference. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Conspiracy Conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999. This is the fifth exciting year they've had this. Dick Gregory is going to be there, Nick Begich. There's going to be Daniel Hopsicker, Jack McLam. I'm going to have a booth, although I'll not be speaking. You're going to see really the contrast between good and evil. The Conspiracy Conference is a great educational opportunity. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going May 28th, 29th. That's 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. For those of you out there who are listening to us on shortwave, let me point out that as of the 4th of April, which I guess will be about the 1st of next week, Why, this afternoon program will switch to 11.515 megahertz. That's 11.515 megahertz. Our evening program, one channel will remain on 5835. That's 5835. The other channel will be at 7465. That's 7.465. So the afternoon program is switching to 11.515. The evening, one channel will remain at 5835, the other will be at 7.465, and of course we hope that you'll tell others. We certainly want, of course, to not to lose our audience, as we always do when they of course switch over. Now, for those of you who find this whole story of autism to be, well, disturbing, how could this be going on? Let me point out that you should get my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. I was involved with organized medicine. I led the delegation from my county to the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association for a decade, trying to get an approach to the AIDS epidemic to stop its spread. I mean, if we treated this disease as we should have, we would have saved 500,000 lives in America. Over 500,000 people are dead. Another 800,000 to 900,000 are infected. Maybe 1 million are infected. And, of course, they have not addressed this epidemic properly throughout the world. Over 20 million they will acknowledge dead, and probably another 40 or 50 million people infected. And everything is done to confuse the issue. There are people who go around and say, oh, there isn't any AIDS epidemic. Nobody's dying of AIDS. It's all imaginary, and it is one of the worst plagues we've ever had. And believe me, it's beginning to spread into China and into India. And in China, it was intentionally introduced by the policies of the government. If you want to get in the back of that, we cover that in the background. We cover that in some of my newsletters. But here we have an epidemic of autism. One in six children or more has a neurodevelopmental abnormality, and everything is being done to conceal the truth about the autism epidemic. We have a four-tape set on Mercury. You need to get that. We have a four-tape set, which we will be putting together, and it will be available in just a few days, on autism. You need to get that. You need to listen to the various experts we have and begin to understand that there is an organized, orchestrated effort to discourage parents from getting their children under treatment. And believe me, if you get them under treatment early, they do very well. But they're doing everything they can to discourage treatment and to convince the doctors that nothing could be done. Now, why would anybody do anything that totally evil? Well, you need to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, you can get the book, you can get the video, you can get the audio tape, you can get them all together, The Brotherhood of Darkness Special. It will give you tremendous insight. And it's a short, easy-to-read book, but many people have told me that it's changed their lives. Then, of course, you need to get our four-tape set on population control. You need to get our video on population control. You need to get our new video, None Dare Call It Genocide. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. That's the four-tape set on autism, and the four-tape set on population control, the video on our population control, and of course, if you do get any of the items from us, and you would like, just ask for a free copy of my population control agenda monograph, and you'll understand why they outlawed DDT. It wasn't because it didn't work. It wasn't because it was hurting the birds or the fishes or the eggshells. It was because it was saving so many human lives, and 100 million people have died since they outlawed DDT back in 1972, and they're lying to you about the incidence of malaria today. It's about 3 million people are dying. Well, we're out of time. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. Pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.